And we're rolling. Or we're on air. Welcome to the Beyond Forgiveness podcast, where we're going to be exploring the power of forgiveness and its transformative impact on our lives. I'm your host, Alex Christine, and each week we will be journeying together to uncover stories of redemption, healing, and the profound strength found in letting go. Thanks for tuning in, guys, people, team, friends. Okay, I think we're ready to start episode one. I'm so excited. Okay. All right. So we made it. We got the intro. Welcome to the Beyond Forgiveness podcast with Alex Christine. I am your host. It's me. First of all, I do want to share a quick thank you to anyone who's listening, because you guys are why I'm doing it. And I'm hoping that this can reach a lot of people. I believe that we all have something to offer. Each and every one of us has a unique perspective and a voice that deserves to be heard. Throughout my life, I have seen firsthand the incredible things that can happen when people come together and build bridges and support each other. I mean, whether it's through music, art, writing, conversation, creating spaces for healing and growth, I mean, that's what I'm all about. So I'm really, really grateful to, by the grace of God, be able to share this space with you and be able to do this podcast. Through this, I've been able to turn my passion for storytelling and uplifting others into a podcast that I hope is going to inspire and engage and encourage you on your journey, whether you're looking for motivation or connection or just a sense of community. I'm here to provide a space where you can be yourself and grow and connect with others and, yeah, share stories. Thank you again for just being a part of this journey. And I also never want to put on the facade that I'm perfect or put together. I am still healing, and I will probably be in that process for a very long time. And that's okay. I think God teaches us a lot through healing, and we can learn a lot just about ourselves, about others, and from that, learn to have compassion and empathy. So at the start of most episodes, I definitely want to incorporate a verse from scripture. Anyway, here we go. Romans 8:31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Jesus Christ died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at the right hand of God, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? For your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus, who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Whew. Also, that was Romans 31 through Romans 8, 31 through 38. So I'm going to pause for a moment and breathe and recollect and be back in just a couple seconds. Thanks, guys. Okay, y'all, I'm back. Don't look at my armpit hair. Okay. That's good. I'm feeling much more refreshed now. All right. So what is forgiveness, first of all? I think that's probably the most important question. And why Beyond Forgiveness? Why would I choose that name? And I'm still learning. But it's basically what I'm trying to utilize this platform for is like, how is stories about how we heal and like move, how we move after forgiving someone. And sometimes that forgiveness part is like forgiving ourselves, but there are a couple like questions surrounding it. So I want to go ahead and clear those up and let you know where I stand on those, which might not clear things up, but it will tell you where where I'm at. So one of the questions with forgiveness, or mantras, I guess, is give, don't forget. I would humbly like to say that I don't think that's how God does it biblically. So there's a biblical definition, I guess, of forgiveness, and then there is the world's view of it. I more so see it from a Christian perspective, I would say. But I also have a lot of past trauma that I think plays into it and can lead to a bit of misunderstanding and deception. So I have to always like be on top of understanding where it's coming from. Like, does this align with God's word, or is this kind of my past talking to me or something, you know? But my parents were divorced by the time I was 5. They were separated before that. I'm going to try my best to keep it as general or vague as possible, because I have forgiven what was done to me. But growing up, my parents were, they made it feel normal, the divorce and having separate homes and stuff, until I got about into junior high. And then I'd have, because I kept all my good clothes at my mom's because we were there a bit more because of the visitation schedule. Yeah, so I'd have to bring like a bag to school. And when it was my dad's night and it had all my clothes, my makeup, my hair stuff, everything in it. And so that was just, you know, when you're a teenager, it just was awkward and uncomfy for me, but so petty looking back. But yeah, they made it feel very normal. So yeah, but I would say that from a young age, I, you know, you just look up to your parents. Like, maybe that was just, I looked up to my mom probably a lot more than my dad, I will admit. And now I understand a bit more. My dad and I have a better relationship now than we have ever had in my entire life. That is one facet of the reconciliation part, being reconciled to God and others, you know, through forgiveness. I've been used to forgiving people who weren't sorry from a young age. So like, something would hurt me, but I've always kind of been the type to lean more towards, if I'm hurt, then that's on me for being hurt. It's like, why does that hurt me? I'm stupid for that hurting me, you know, all the false things that we tell ourselves. But yeah, I would more be like, what did I do to make this person mad? I remember being a kid and being like, I'm ready to have kids. I just want it, but marriage came first. So my mom actually told me, it was sweet at the time, but when I was little, I, you know, asked where babies come from. And instead of the birds and the bees conversation, you know, she goes, well, whenever you meet someone and you both love each other and you get married, or, and God lets you get married or something, then God gives you a baby. So I was like, oh, okay, so you got to be married first to have a kid. Cool. It's goals. Haha. But I didn't really have relationship role models to look up to. I definitely looked up to my mom with her work ethic and her, oh my, her strength emotionally, spiritually, physically, like just, she's a profound woman. Yeah. Been forgiving people from a young age, kind of people who weren't sorry, never really acknowledge anything that they did. I just learned how to like act around them in a way. And in a sense, that kind of made me lose sight of myself. And it, again, I'm still in the healing process. I'm still dealing with some of this. So yeah, after I graduated high school, I went straight to a university, still pretty close to home, but I had my own place and everything. And very thankful to God for my mom for that. If she watches this, she'll know what I mean, or listens to this. Anyway, so I am in school my first year, and almost immediately I met someone who, as soon as I saw him, I told my friend, I was like, I'm going to marry that guy. And it's really, I had never talked to him before or anything. And it's really interesting because we ended up actually being engaged at one point. I couldn't tell anyone about it though. More on that later. And after my first year of school, my dreams kind of came true. He asked me to move with him. He was a senior, I was a freshman. He already had his job lined out and everything. And I was like, My whole family said no. I didn't really consult. I don't even think I asked for their opinion. I was just, I'm like, I'm going. Like, there was no telling me. And I think I was either 17 or 18, but we dated. I moved to Seattle after that school year. And then I enrolled in full-time online classes through a community college. And I was getting all A's. I'm sorry, that's all to the glory of God, literally, because of what was going on behind the scenes. But he was abusive. And I don't mean abusive in the way of, like, I think that word gets, like, misused a lot. That and trauma. So I don't want to be throwing those words around. But he was violent with me from wake to sleep. I remember on my birthday that year, the first year that we'd been living there, he woke me up around 5 a.m. to beat me because he had went through my phone at night. And I might have been in the wrong in some ways, but when you're dealing with an abusive person, it doesn't really matter what you do or don't do. They'll take what they want and put it into whatever they want. But yeah, so during that time, while the violence was constant, it's weird because it didn't really hit me what was going on until, no pun intended, until after I was out of the situation. And I only got out of the situation because I was in fight or flight. And during a really, really, one of the probably worst situations, I ran. I had a job. I was also working at a law firm, and I'm so grateful for my coworkers. They are literal godsend. But one day I was walking home from work and my coworker was like, we live at this apartment. I live at that apartment too, blah, blah, blah. Like, and it turns out he's like, we live on the same floor. Like, it was such a small world, such a small world. And mind you, before that, I had already had and quit a job because he came to visit me while I was at work and I had a breakdown. Because the constant violence and abuse, it just wears you down to nothing and you have no self-confidence and it's like, it's horrible. And it's unique to every single person. I truly do think that there are common grounds. There are ways that we can, like, relate to one another, but we are all definitely unique in these situations and respond to them so differently. But for me, I saw his violence as also my fault, yes. But that was maybe partly true, but it's so much to explain if you don't just get it, you know? And that's kind of the audience I'm trying to reach right now, is people who actually get it, because you do love that person and you see their hurt and their struggles. And then you see yourself and you're like, dang, I have all these hurts and these struggles and, you know, I respond to it in X, Y, and Z way and this way and that way. And who's to say any of them are healthy or, you know, like, cause, or maybe some are healthier than others, whatever. But like, we each cope how we cope. Like, we cope in different ways. We have different feelings. We have different thoughts going on the inside. It's very unique to each person. But I'm over here looking at myself like, dang, I have a lot of crap. Like, I thought I was good before this. I have a lot of unhealed trauma from my childhood. And now trauma from this too. Like, whoa. So there are just so many stories that I feel like we're going to be getting into. I don't know how I'm going to navigate each one. And I'm probably going to repeat myself. And if I do, I'm sorry. Please make note of it to me in the comments or something. Or on the forum or on the website. So, yeah. And also, yeah, there's on the forum, if you're subscribed, there's a Q&A section of the forum. So you can just post whatever you want there and I can try to talk about it on the podcast if you're interested or finding help in it. So yeah, I did not justify his abuse because of his hurt, because of his own pain. He lost his dad when he was in junior high. And that was about the same time I lost my mama, my dad's mom. My mama was probably one of my favorite people in the world when I was a kid. And up until the point she died, I would hold her hand and she always loved it when I sang to her. She is one of the reasons I still love music, because she would encourage me, and I needed that during that time. So yeah, Mama was awesome. But after she passed away, some things were happening with my dad, and I was just a mess. I was just a mess all the time. And my grades weren't good and everything like that. And looking back, it makes me, I don't want to say hate myself, but because it is what it is. But, you know, my dad was going through so much during that time. He had just lost his mom, and months later, my papa passed away. How it was with my mom's parents, my grandma and grandpa as well. But he had just lost them and then lost me. Because of what happened, we were able to go back to court and renegotiate whether I was old enough to be able to make a decision to whose house I wanted to go. And I didn't see him for pretty much all of high school. And at my graduation, I saw him. And our relationship has grown, and all the things, it's just, it has improved so much. But, you know, maybe I should apologize to him for not being there during that time. But again, that goes back to this relationship that I was in. I was like, I love you, you know, I mean, you have these things, but I didn't even want to point it out. Like, at a certain point, it got to where it was just expected every day, like, I couldn't say anything. I could not, nothing's right.
Yeah.
But that has definitely played into my, you know, I'm like, if God forgives me for stuff and doesn't leave me, and we're supposed to forgive others, because he promises never to leave us or forsake us. So, and from the scripture we read today, it, you know, we understand that, I mean, I think God works everything for the good. While I endured a lot of suffering, and I won't even get into describing what I endured through that relationship, just chasing after someone who he might have loved me, but I don't know if I was ever able to receive it, or if I don't know. And maybe that part, about that part, I'm still in a bit of denial, because I still believe that I believe that every person has some good in them. You just have to find it. You just have to see it. It's not, when you're looking for bad constantly, then you'll find a lot, because everyone has it. You should actually, like, well, not you, but if a person's doing that, it's like, I think looking at yourself can be even scarier, you know? And you're like, well, I can't live up to my own standards. And like, so why are you expecting others to live up to all these things? And so having a forgiving nature can be definitely like, you can feel like you're getting used a lot and you get your heart broken a lot, but that's also the beauty of it, because in that, God is literally teaching you to lean on him. And I say that, but community is very important. I was so isolated from all my family. I was so isolated that I just lost touch. And you need people there sometimes. You need people to encourage you sometimes. And if someone is just tearing you down and tearing you down, that's why I'm so thankful to God it didn't work out. Because I think in that, God was trying to show me, and it took another one too that I'm saving for another episode. But yeah. It just showed me, God is like, this has been what's going on in your family for a long time, and it's done now. It's done. This is not happening to you. And if I'm ever to have kids, it's not happening to my kids. By the grace of God, I believe that's what he's showing me in this. And I think he's making me stronger. It's really a miracle that I'm here today. I mean, because it sounds so basic when I just give you like little snippets here and there, but I'll share my story as I go. And if you misunderstand me, forgive me with love. We're back. So I don't think we ever really answered like what forgiveness is. But to me, and I think the example the Bible sets is, you know, faithfulness. So like for me, I probably would have stayed with Cody if God hadn't removed him from my life. I mean, like I said, I was so sad. And forgive and forget. It was hard during that time to forget because it kept happening. But that is what forget, like in the Bible, Jesus says, or well, Peter comes up to Jesus and says like, hey, my brother sins against me, like seven or forgives or sins against me and then asks for forgiveness three times in a day or something like that. What do I say? And he says, if your brother sins against you, like give him 70 times seven, which when I was younger, my dad said means infinitely, like you forgive him however many times. If he keeps coming back to you and saying he's sorry, like he keeps repenting to you, like that's how many times. And there's another one. I'm so glad that we got this on video. Yes. Okay. So yeah, like people saying sorry actually is a big part of, or just recognizing it, you know, God gives us strength. If you try to work up, muster up the courage and like white knuckle discipline, as one of my favorite pastors, Matt Chandler, says, you should check him out. Probably put links in the bio and stuff, or the description whenever this gets posted. But yeah, definitely check him out. He preaches the gospel, man. But yeah, so 70 times seven, you forgive him. But that also like says sorry. So, but for me, it was the covenant part in relationships where it's like, God's forgiven me. How can I not forgive others and stay? But it was pulling me for my purpose that God had for me. See, I had kind of idolized that relationship and I did not know that. I had one time in just deep despair, I went to see a church counselor and just laying it all out there, you know, and he brings up idols and I'm like, oh yeah, no, I don't struggle with idols. I was like, no, I don't have a statue that I worship. Thanks. And he's like, no. So an idol, and he like drew me a picture. It was so nice to see the visual too, because I was so shaken up. He's like, an idol is anything that comes between you and God. Cody was coming between me and God. I had stopped going to church. I had stopped reading the Bible. Like once I went to college, like stopped everything. And once God pulled me back near in a really profound way that I will get into in future episodes, I also must make note of that. He saved me in the most profound way. Ways, plural, keeps happening, like all the time. I love God. I want to love God the way he wants me to love him. And then I want to love my neighbor as he wants me to love them and myself. Love is a whole nother topic too, but just a little snippet. Look up the word ahava. It's a Hebrew. I think it's spelled A-H-A-V-A. It's a Hebrew word, but look it up. And the Greek like alternative for that word would be agape. So yeah, again, if you don't, I would just look up those. It's basically unconditional love in a way, but at what point do you draw the line with that? And like, how much do you have to suffer before? Like, so I think me being removed from the situation also, yeah. So when I was living there and had to move, which we lived together off and on several years after, again, another story, but my neighbors called the police. And in that state, it is a criminal matter rather than a civil matter. Therefore, they put a restraining order in place. Like it wasn't between me and him. It was not. And so I didn't have anywhere else to live. Like I didn't really know anybody there. So I just went home for a while and had to withdraw from school and everything. I was not ready to leave him yet. That was for sure. But I guess like in moving past that, it's been hard to, because I'm like, I've lost someone who was alive and then died. You know, I've lost someone to death. And that's one thing when they're not here anymore. It's another when you lose someone and they're still here. It's like, literally like, I am dead to you at this point. You know, that's just so crazy that, I mean, I just appreciate life. I appreciate people. I love people. I don't want anyone ever to leave. I don't ever want to make anyone mad. And it sucks being so sensitive sometimes because I can get, I be too much for people. But that's how I am. That's how I don't know. And I'm not making an excuse about it, but I do have a really big heart. And, you know, if it doesn't come out in words, which I, you know, by the grace of God, know how to hold my tongue most of the time, but I'll just cry. I just get so sad about things and like wanting to have friendships or a relationship or something like that. And it's just a silly attitude. And I wish I could, I mean, God has already healed so much. I would not be doing this. I would not even be doing this probably 2 or 3 months ago, literally. So he has just done, God has done so much in me in the last couple of years. But yeah, as far as like what forgiveness is, like, I think you can just see it on the cross. Jesus says, forgive them for what they do not know. He asks God to forgive the people who were crucifying him and plotted against him. So forgive them for they do not know what they do. Sorry. I think that pretty much sums it up. But yeah, I think in the next episode, we should talk a bit more about the line between that and tolerance. So for now, forgive me for leaving you on that cliffhanger. With love.